Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Tornado Tony Pennycal.
And Psychic Tom Padgett with this crystal ball unveiled and ready to go.
So, yeah, I had a big weekend for MMA. There was two big fight cards, UFC Fight Night, and Professional Fighting League, a.k.a. the parent company of Bellator now. they had a big event, and then we got another one coming up this weekend for PFL and another one coming for UFC, so it's like pretty interesting. They're going head-to-head on the same network, no less, too, because PFL just extended their contract. But anyway, we got that to talk about. We got some boxing. I guess Tony's got some venting to do.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
But I had a pretty good parlay on the UFC over the weekend. $5 bet on a four-leg parlay that had plus 35,600 odds.
How'd you do in the main event, Rich?
I did not pick the main event in that particular one, but I had close by TKO or decision. That was plus 275. Brundage by TKO or decision. He was big underdog, so that was plus 300. And then the biggest one, plus 600, Stoltzfus by TKO or submission. The one I stressed out the most about was the last one because it was, you know, Kelvin Gastelum. And Brady was just wrestling him for just like three straight rounds, it seems, and then finally got the submission from the Kimura because nothing else worked. But man, I had TKO or submission. That was plus 240 for that one. So yeah, $5 won me $1,785. Pretty good one.
Yeah, Gasoline just seemed to be just getting thrown around. He was dominated so much.
Yeah.
You know, you think coming down in weight, he could have had an edge, but
yeah, Brady,
maybe his body hasn't gotten
level.
Used to it yet.
Brady was relentless. It's like a human backpack, and then, you know, every time he tried to rear naked a choke, it got defended. So he's like, okay, I'll go to my next big submission.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good one. And then, you know, we had some crazy fights in Bellator, too. I didn't win any big, huge money there, but, I mean, not Bellator, PFL. We got stuff coming up. But yeah, the main event, I actually expected Beneil Dariush to win that one. So I didn't have much Armand Sarukian, especially not in the first round, because Dariush is just known to like go the distance. So that was very unexpected there. So I didn't have any parlays with him.
Yeah, he's going to have to head back to the drawing board.
Yeah, that sucks for him, but yeah. Not too surprising, you know. Sarukian is that kind of fighter. But yeah, it was pretty good card altogether. This frickin' McAfee thing keeps popping up on my damn computer. Okay. He wasn't your typical Brady. Tom Brady. Put on a pretty good performance. Like, you know, just was always working. But back to this one. Yeah. Co-main event, Jalen Turner knocking out Bobby Green. That was the most controversial fight of the night because of the late stoppage. Bobby Green was, like, out cold, and Turner just kept having a pummel on the floor of the cage. That's a bad one. I really didn't expect Turner to do much. There was reports that he looked pretty horrible at the weigh-in, so I was not expecting him to win that fight by knockout so early. That was a bust. And Davison Figueiredo over Rob Font. You know, I guess it was hometown thing. Massachusetts guy Rob Font, I was all heavy on him. But Figueiredo has been around a little bit longer in the UFC. He's got some more high-quality wins, and, you know, he needed to fight someone other than Brandon Moreno, I guess. Sean Brady, I think, yeah, he was the surprise of the night for me with that Kimura submission. Joaquin Silva beat Clay Guida by decision. That was not a big surprise. Guida kind of just fighting to pad his record. Get one last win, and I think he's going to retire. Dustin Stoltz, that was a big underdog win for me over Puna Haley Soriano. That was a rear naked choke submission for Soriano. And then Misha Tate, they had in another bet that paid off like a little bit less. She beat Julia Avila by a face crank submission the third round. But yeah, that was pretty crazy fight. And that was another one where they said Avila did not look good in the weigh-in. And I also knew that, you know, Tate, we actually interviewed her years ago. She has just way better resume of fighters, you know, not to mention some more fights. So I kind of knew she was going to win that one. Cody Brundage was a big surprise over Zachary Reese. Second straight slam knockout in a row, which I don't know if you could have had a prop bet on, but that would have paid off a million. A million to one. Cody Brundage was the second one. And it was kind of like, hey, armbar people, watch out for this warning, because these guys just copied each other, basically. It was like they might get caught in an armbar. They picked their other guy up and phew, slammed him right on their heads, knocked him out. Both in the first round, too, within 8 seconds of being at the exact same time of the fight, believe it or not. Cody got the second one over Zachary Reese, who was kind of expected to win that big time. And then Dracar Close, who was not having a good first round up to that point. just 9 seconds before Cody Brundage did it in his fight, he KO'd Joe Selecki when he was going for the armbar. And, the announcers are saying, like, you know, they'd say they don't slam into the submission because then it might get tighter. But these guys proved otherwise. It was an interesting phenomenon to see, anyway. And then we had Rodolfo Bellotto. I had this hedged both ways. I figured Bellotto would have to get into the second round against Ihor Potiera, but if he was going to win, it was going to be by knockout. So I think I had knockout or decision on a couple bets, but the rest of the parlays picks didn't turn out there. But Potiera was a live dog, you know. He did pretty well up until that point. He had Bellotto so close to being absolutely obliterated. Like, Bellotto, I think, even said after the fight, already at his young age, he already admitted that he had no memory of certain points of the fight. But kind of funny, but not funny, because he took so many head punches. But you could not put his lights out. He just kept coming. And I think it was the fight of the night, the way he won it in the second round. and Jared Gooden beating the guy without a good fighter's name, Wellington Turman. Second fight of the night. That was a rear naked choke win for Gooden. And Veronica Hardy, split decision win over Jamie Lynn. Fourth. All in all, pretty good card. We had another Bellator card. PFL. Right? What did you have to vent about, Tony?
Well, first of all, let me do a quick tribute before I get all wound up. So, Rich, this is before we even met and nearly fought. But this is, in a way, what led us to a special day in 2012. So, we got a phone call yesterday that my dad's cousin passed away. And we know he had been in declining health, and since his wife had passed a couple years ago, he had been in pretty deep depression. So his heart finally gave out on him. He was about 80 years old. And he had said something back in the mid-90s. His father was at the Rocky Marciano-Jersey Joe Walcott fight in Philadelphia, one of the most famous fights in boxing history, maybe the most famous knockout in boxing history. And his father had given, before he passed away, the program and ticket to his oldest son, my dad's cousin. And when he was having some health problems back in the 90s, he said, you know what, I'm afraid that my heart can give out on me. And my brother will get this, have no sentimental value. He's only going to look at the dollar signs and he's going to sell it. And he goes, my father would roll over in his grave. So I want to give it to somebody that will appreciate it. And he came to one of my fights, which ironically was hosted by a gentleman that was a friend of Rocky Marciano, a gentleman by the name of Steve Acunto. I believe we interviewed him like 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And when I got out of the ring, it was an exhibition fight. You know, it didn't go on a record, but it was an exhibition fight. And when I got out of the ring, he was standing there with the program and the ticket, and he presented them to me. And they still hang. So we got to know this, you know, news that he passed yesterday. We knew, and he'd been in declining health. But, you know, I wanted to make sure that he knew how much I appreciated that. And, you know, I would tell him that, but, you know, I would always say, you know, more of like a talking way, you know, a jovial way. But it was always sincere that I did appreciate that. And I know he appreciated that he gave it to somebody that would really treasure it and bring honor to something that his father treasured so much. So I wanted to start off, you know, with that news, you know. And now let's get to what has the tornado irked. So last week, now I told you guys, you know, and I'm actually going to reference a few different things here, and I'm a Philadelphian, so I'm going to reference a few Philadelphia things. There's a guy, he's from your area, Rich, by the name of Mark Wahlberg. You ever hear of him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg played a lot of versatile roles. Great, great actor.
He grew up on.
Yeah. So, co-worker of mine is, like, infatuated with him.
Yeah.
So the one day, years ago, when I was in the office, I said to him, I'm like, man, you know what I was thinking of? I was listening to a song today by the guy Marky Mark. I wonder whatever happened to him. She's like, that's Mark Wahlberg. I said, no, I'm talking about Marky Mark, the rapper from like 1991. She says, no, that's Mark Wahlberg. And I kept it on like I didn't know that was the same person. So Mark Wahlberg played Mickey Ward. He also played a member of the Philadelphia Eagles who I happened to meet by the name of Vince Papale. Now, Vince is synonymous with the birth of the tornado because I was born 17 days early because the Eagles lost the game to Dallas on Sunday. My mom went right into labor. But in that movie, Vince
Eagles, even though, you know, he was really just like a school teacher and a bartender, and he had played some semi-pro football, but he gets this unbelievable shot. And every week he survives the cut, and he's pretty sure he's not going to make the final roster. And he's talking to his dad, and his dad was going through a hard time, you know, because of his mother's illness. And the line in the movie, his father says to him, "Just because I told you not to get your hopes up didn't mean that I didn't." So basically saying, I'm telling you that, hey, don't get your hopes up. It's probably not going to happen. Oh, just do the best you can. But in the side, he goes, he was getting his hopes up because, you know, he wanted his son to make it so bad. So in a way, last week I told you guys what I was going to do, and I was laughing about it. And I said, I'm going to go to this event, and I'm just going there and taking my best shot. That's all I can do, right? Just take your best shot. And then at the end, it was like, just because I was telling myself, don't get your hopes up, it didn't mean that I wasn't. So, you know, I ran a weekend, and I'm gonna end it with some humor. You guys are going to laugh, because that's what I do. You know, I look at sarcasm and everything. So I did my tree lot Friday night. It rained, barely had any customers. So I sat in the camper most night. It was an easy night. Saturday was busy. So I worked my tail off from like 8 to 5, 8 to 6. Jumped, changed into my Santa suit, went to a party. So I didn't get home until 10 at night. Didn't go to bed till close to midnight. Now I was up at 3:15. Out of my house by 4, I was standing at the art museum steps at 5:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
I was the first person there. Now they, from what I'm hearing, this contest, as I'm doing the air quotes with my hands right now, was, I don't want to call it rigged, but there was definitely some slanted to it. Because the one guy I know, and he's a nice guy, I see him at the Rocky Run. He's a guy, like, you like him because he's so nice, but then he annoys you because he's, like, too nice and he's positive. Like, both do videos with his kids. All right, kids, we're going to watch Rocky today. And what does Rocky tell us to do? Never give up, Dad. That's right, kids. I'm like, all right, knock it off. You know, don't be so happy. You know, be a little bit more like Paulie. But then I saw, like, my friend, who was the fourth person in line at, like, 6 a.m. She was texting me, screenshots of like different people. Like, the contest was supposed to be, and you saw it, Rich, because you were one of the people I tagged. You tag 3 people and you get entered. Then you fill out a form and you get entered. But then I see that the one guy that got picked, he kept like comment on there, like, I deserve this because I got engaged on the art museum steps and I did this. I'm a big fan and I buy the jacket and I buy this. And I'm thinking, buddy, you know what you're about to buy is a slap in the teeth. Because, you know, you can buy a whole bunch of things and you can say, this made me do this and this made me do that. But when you're standing in that corner and someone bigger than you, stronger than you, is beating the living hell out of you, and you have the guts to fight your way out of that corner, let me see you do that. Let me see you crawl out of a hospital bed and go to a movie audition within 3 days. Let me see you do that. So I'm standing there at 5:45 with this couple that I met and then my friend from Manhattan. We're all hanging together. And so they're like, the store, which wasn't even open, says, hey, would you guys like to come in and tour it? We're like, hell yeah. And then they took some pictures of us and everything. And, you know, we're like, oh, this is all kind of cool. And then they put us, you know, back outside. It's pouring rain. So I got my Apollo outfit on, but I got a jacket over top of it. I got an umbrella for like the first time in 10 years. And then they said, oh, you guys can't stand here. This is like a certain walkway, and we're going to put a barricade up for the VIPs, which you're not. So you guys go to the steps. Okay. And then next thing you know, we're like, why are people standing where we were told we couldn't stand? Oh, we gave you misinformation. We asked them, since we were here so early, is there something you can do for us? Is there any way you can do something for us? Oh, yeah, we're going to try. We think we can. They forgot us within 2 seconds. and I'm seeing all these people getting the footage. And then some of them are messaging me because I know them from, like, different Rocky podcasts and Rocky Facebook groups. Wasn't it such a great time? No, go fuck yourself. did you see that little kid do the speech? I saw him smack him in his mouth. You know, fuck. So do I sound like sour grapes? I hope I do because I am. You know, and when I got home, I went right to the tree lot. So I was out that day for 20 consecutive hours from that and then going right to the tree lot to work and watching a horrible Eagles game. So it didn't sink in until Monday. And then Monday I'm sitting there and everybody's tagging me. Saw you on the news. Great. Saw your picture on the one article. Great. And they're all sending me the same fucking picture. And I'm like, would you please stop? I know. You're the 30th person that has told me. And every time they get it, I get a little bit madder. And then one guy that was there messages me, and he goes, hey, man, it was a great meeting. Yeah, great meeting, too. Wasn't it a great event? No, go fuck yourself. You know, you got it. And then he's like, well, there's always next year. And every time someone says that to me, my fists fall. Because I said it right after last year's Super Bowl. I hate that next year bullshit.
Yeah.
Because, oh, how many next years do we got left? How many next years? My friend of mine, a 44-year-old friend of hers died of a brain aneurysm today. You know, how many next years we got left? So you're winning. You're one. You're on top. You're happy. Oh, that's what you tell a 5-year-old, you know, didn't get what he wanted for Christmas. Well, there's always Christmas next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I feel like I got really fucked over. So now I'm being kind of like a dick. So every time like they post something, I make a sarcastic comment.
Well, then.
Yeah. Oh, the one was like, the city council rep posted a video, and guess who's in the fucking video? There I am. I'm like, oh, that was nice. I said, maybe I'll get some for being the best dressed person there. Because my jacket got so drenched, I had to spend the last 4 hours of it in tank top only. You know, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll get something for, you know, being the stupid asshole in a tank top all day. So if I seem a little bit ornery, then I'm not covering it up. Do I seem ornery? No. No. I mean, I thought they could have done something at least a little bit better by me.
Yeah, definitely. Some bullshit.
Yeah.
So, did you get a chance to watch any boxing? I'd say not, probably, right?
No, because you figure Saturday I was out from 7 in the morning till about 10 at night. I came home, didn't really get to see anything, tried to get some sleep, and then Sunday I was out of my house by 4 a.m. and not home till 10:30, so...
Well, let's see what happened. We have Ryan Garcia getting a knockout in Houston, same place they had the UFC fights. Not exactly in Houston, but Texas. I mean, in Austin, I think, was the UFC fights. But Garcia proves to 24-1. He went into the eighth round with Oscar Duarte Dorado. Close to 26-2-1, and Shane Mosley Jr. won by RTD the sixth round over Joshua Conley. Falls 17-6. Mosley gets his 21st win there, go with 4 losses. Let's go back to Friday. Yes. Friday. Female fight. What else? This weekend. Tomorrow night from Orlando, we've got a super featherweight fight that's sort of interesting. Leonardo Padilla, 23-5 against Jeremy Hill, who's 19-3 there. Earth shattering on the undercard. Let's see. And there's a DAZN card from down in South America somewhere. Might be Mexico. Sounds like a Mexico name. Diego Andrade Chavez, 14-9-2, fighting Rene Telez Giron, who's 17-3 for the WBC Fika Box Super Featherweight title. That's the biggest fight on that card. And then we got Brandon Leon Benitez, 21-2 losses, fighting Rigoberto Hermosillo, who's 14-4-1 at featherweight for the WBO NABO featherweight title in Long Beach, California. That's going on. And we got a couple guys who have just one loss. George Acosta, 16-1, fighting Richard Medina. He's 15-1 at super featherweight. Also on this card, Mark Magsayo, 24-2. He's ranked number 9 at super featherweight. Obviously, this seems like a tune-up fight for him because he's fighting a guy ranked number 150th, Isaac Avalar, who's 17-6. So a bit heavy on Magsayo there. Mario Hernandez also on the card, 10-4-1 against Adrian Alvarado, who's 8-1-1. And then the big one on Saturday, Regis Prograis, 29-1, fighting Devin Haney, who is 30-0. And it's just not really slowed down much. Both of them, I guess they've got them ranked both at number 2 at super lightweight. This one's for WBC World Super Lightweight title. I don't know too much about Regis. You know, I've watched a lot of Devin Haney's fights, and he just looks pretty masterful. I don't know. Can you keep up with his cardio? That's the question. And Regis has the one loss. It was in a recent fight, so... We'll see. I like Haney, probably by decision. You know, he doesn't really knock a lot of people out at this.
Yeah, I wouldn't see this. I'll tell you right now. So you figure Haney is 30 now and completely split, 15-15 knockouts and decisions. That last fight with Lomachenko was a little controversial, but he got it won.
Yeah.
You know, he had the big win over Kambosos twice. Beat him by decisions both times. So you figure, just to go back to the last time he won stoppage, we're looking at 4 years ago. His last stoppage win was in September of 2019 against a guy who was undefeated, Zaur Abdulev. And he won, that's when he won the vacant WBC interim lightweight title. And that was a fourth round TKO. But like, you're right. After that, you know, not a guy that is really a threat to score a lot of knockouts. So now we got to look up, excuse me, what we got on Prograis. So you're right. I don't think a lot of us have a whole lot of tape on.
Lost by decision. To Josh Kaler, who was undefeated 15-0 at the time.
Right. I do remember seeing that fight. So. Pull that up one for you. And I want to look at some of his wins, too.
He does seem to TKO a lot of undefeated fighters, but not at that level.
Regis Prograis here, the loss to Josh Taylor was a majority decision. You know, he's, you know, 29-1, 24 knockouts. So you're right, you're looking at a, you know, a guy that definitely a puncher here. So, last fight was a split decision win, though, over Danilito Zorrilla, who we don't have a lot of tape on. I'm looking at some of his. So he had the stoppage win over Ivan Redcatch. Josh Taylor. I'm trying to remember. There was one fight of his that I really remember that, was it a Joel Diaz fight?
Yeah.
I'm keeping looking. There was one that I really remember, and I was like, and that's what put him on my radar. But I had to have been the Diaz fight. Joel Diaz Jr. stopped him in the second round.
I feel like Haney should.
Maybe it was a red catch fight.
I feel like Haney should win this handily, but then when I look at the record here, with some of these quality wins that Prograis has, and he's got a lot high percentage KO rate. He's actually had a few streaks of knockouts over the years. Knocked out a guy who was 20-0. Knocked out a guy who was 23-0. So don't sleep on a.
A punching ability like that.
Hedge bet, but he's never been knocked out either. So I would say Haney by decision is a safe bet. But
I would say so.
I would hedge with a miracle. Rocky knockout. Speaking of Rocky, that Bellotto fight I was talking about earlier, they could make an MMA Rocky movie out of that one fight. MMA version of Rocky. It was crazy. I still can't get over it, as you can tell. But yeah, Prograis is going to be no cheap date. Not at all. Then we got Liam Paro, who's undefeated, 23-0, fighting for the WBO Global Super Lightweight title over Montana Love, or against Montana Love. He's 18-1-1, Super Lightweight. And then this is kind of a weird one. Andy Cruz, number 69 in the world at lightweight, but he's 1-0. Fighting Giovanni Strafon, who is 26-5-1, and it's for a title. 1-0 in your title. IBF International Lightweight title. Also, Ebony Bridges, good friend of Conor McGregor, 9-1, fighting Mayo Yoshida, who is 16-4. That's for the IBF World Bantamweight title. It's currently being.
Enough titles. Maybe we need more titles. You know, that's a problem. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Then we got, that was in San Francisco, that card. We got a decent main event in Charles F. Dodge City Center in Pembroke Pines, wherever that is.
I love how Box Rec leads off the city.
Of a state. Robizi Ramirez, number 4 at featherweight, fighting Rafael Espinoza. And Ramirez, 13-1. Espinoza, 21-0 for the WBO World Featherweight title. Jumps out at me on the undercard, except for Xander Zayas. Trying to stay undefeated, 17-0 at super welterweight, is on the card. Fighting kind of a journeyman here. Jorge Fortea, 24-3, with one draw and both losses in his last six. And that's about it. Well, number 30 at super lightweight, Rohan Polanco, 10-0, against Keith Hunter, who's 15-1 at super lightweight. Another guy with a bad fighting name, Michael Polite Coffee. 13-4 at heavyweight. Fighting Damian.
Would you rather have
a root coffee? He's fighting an undefeated fighter, so he's probably not going to be polite. He loses. Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. Week boxing. We got one on Sunday. We're in the UK. We got to talk about UK. Actually, we got another one too. IBO World Bantamweight title in Toronto. Amanda Galle, 8-0 with one draw, fighting New Yorkers Carino, 24-3. Bantamweight there. And then we got Chris Billiam Smith over in Bournemouth, 18-1, fighting Matheus Mastrnak. Billiam Smith, 18-1. Mastrnak, 47-5. You see fighters with that many wins these days. Crazy. That's that cruiserweight, by the way. And then Michael McKinson, 25-1, fighting Musa Lawson, 11-0 at welterweight. That's on Sunday over in the UK. So I said earlier there was a PFL fight last week. Actually, that was the week before, and we already talked about it. So we do have to talk about the upcoming one from Dublin, Ireland. And that's actually tomorrow night. So they're not going to be on the same night because he's going to get a break from competing directly against them. Nathan Kelly and Dimitri Solomes are in the main event here, according to Sherdog. I wouldn't say it's a title fight, but it says it's main event. Nathan, 8-2. Dimitri Solomes, he's 6-3. And I got myself a little cheat sheet I did of the top guys. So I like Kelly by TKO or submission. He's also got great first round submission potential. Yeah, Solomon is just a little bit too green, I think. At least got the wins over the solid competitors. We got the co-main event is a bantamweight title fight. Franz Malambo, he's 15-5, fighting Cursed Kakarov, who is 11-1, and he finishes people. So, Kakarov, I go TKO decision all the way. Don't even think about doing, you can do the limbo, but don't do the Malambo. I think that's a good chance, of course, of Kakarov. His only loss was his first fight, I believe. If I remember correctly, just looking at his record. So, he is on quite a win streak. I think he's going to take care of Malambo, but I could be wrong. Just saying. John Mitchell, lightweight, 8-1. He's in the title fight against Jacob Kasuba, and undefeated, 10-0. Kasuba. I like him by either TKO or decision, or you could do the double chance bet at submission or decision. Kasuba. Mitchell. You know, I guess TK or decision, if you favor him, it's kind of, it's not really a toss-up fight, but it's just depends on how much weight you give the undefeated record of Kasuba. He does tend to win fights by TK or submission a lot. We'll see. And then Dylan Tuke versus Yazid Chouchane. I don't really want to do a prediction on that one. It didn't strike me as an easy one to pick. These guys have kind of crazy records, but it's a lightweight fight. I say it's a toss-up. Dakota Ditchova, she's looking for win number 10 of her career. She's 9-0. And it's a flyweight title fight against Valentina Scatizzi. She's 2-1 at flyweight, and Ditchova, I think that's TK or sub all day long. First round knockout potential. And, yeah, don't even worry about it. don't think Scatese is like a foot shorter too. Not to say that she couldn't pull out a miracle, but I mean, 2-1 record, barely has any competition. I just don't know. I don't know. Stitcher versus looks so dominant lately. Then we have the final title fight, or the first one on the card that's going to be broadcast, I believe. Simeon Powell, who's 9-0 at light heavyweight, fighting Jacob Nadeau, who is 7-1. I like Nadeau by first round knockout or by a knockout or submission. He does have the one loss, and Powell is undefeated, but I just think Nadeau has had the top quality competition comparing their records. Go with him. If you're going to pick Powell, yeah, I guess KO or submission, I would hit that one. You know, these guys get to the title fight for a reason. They're both good fighters, so a little bit of a toss-up considering one guy's undefeated. But Nadeau, I mean, he just finishes people. A first-round knockout, too. He's got a lot of them. So Lewis McGrillin Evans, number 6 on the lineup. I don't have a prediction for this one because I didn't analyze this far down the card, but he's 7-0 at bantamweight, fighting a guy named Matisse Zaharovs, who's 6-2. Then you got Brett Johns, 19-3 at featherweight, fighting David Tonatuya Cole, 11-7. Tom Breeze, 17-4, fighting Clayton Pereira da Silva, who's 16-3 at middleweight. this guy's got a funny name. Bondo Kikadze, who is 7-2-1 at bantamweight, fighting Dominique Wooding. he's gonna put some Bondo on Wooding. we'll patch that Wooding right up. 9-5. Connor Hughes, 7-1, fighting Sebastian Santana Guedes, who is 8-6-1. And first by the night, debuts for Nate Kelly and Callum Seaton at flyweight. That is it there. And this Saturday night in Vegas, we are going to have a main event in UFC Fight Night 233 of Yadong Song and Chris Gutierrez. Both fighters have 20 wins. Song has 7 losses. Gutierrez has 5. And 2 draws for Gutierrez. Song has 1 draw. And, geez, it's a tough one to really analyze, but I think Gutierrez edges it out. Knockout or decision. Song, he could go either way. He's either going to win by knockout or decision or lose by knockout or decision. His record reflects that from what I've seen of his 7 losses and his 20 wins. But I think Gutierrez is just kind of on more of a tear. He's looking better and better every fight. But I did start him on our decision. Main event, that's a bantamweight fight. So, you know, you've got a high potential even though it's 5 rounds. At that weight, it's probably going to go to decision. So, or submission, who cares? Anthony Smith and Khalil Roundtree in the co-main event. And Smith, he's like your definition of a journeyman, 37-18 at light heavyweight, and is back and forth really lately. Roundtree, I like him, 12-5. Doesn't seem like a threat to a guy with 37 wins, but I don't know. I think TK or decision. I don't know what the odds are. Probably plus, but. I like him to finally get the job done. That fight that Smith had with Ryan Spann was just so ugly. I think Roundtree has the capacity, if he gets Smith in that kind of territory where he almost knocks him out, he's going to knock him out. He's not going to have, like, a moment where he gasses out, can't get it done. So I like round three TKO decision on that one. Tim Elliott and Sue Mater G. I really don't know on that one. Tim's got experience too up the yin yang. 19-13 with one draw fighting Mater G, who's 16-5. That's a bantamweight fight. So maybe to go the distance. And that's a lot of experience between those two. That's a good one to bet. It'll go distance. Nasrat Haqparast in a lightweight fight against Joe Biden's all-time favorite fighter, Jamie Malarkey, 17-6.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
Fully White House endorsed. Haqparast, 15-5. This one's kind of interesting. You know, you could go Malarkey knockout or Haqparast decision. There's a way to do alternate method, double chance. You can't pick, like, the same method, two different guys. It's got to be one or the other. Malarkey's heavy on his KOs, believe it or not. He doesn't take any Malarkeys from judges. Any Malarkey from the judges. He gets a lot of KOs. Haqparast gets a lot of decisions, so I'd say that's a safe bet there. But I think Malarkey's going to win that one. He could win it by decision, too, because Haqparast, a durable fighter. Well, that's a lightweight fight. It's an interesting one. And, you know, most of the time you don't want to be double parked anywhere, right? Not a good thing, but if you're gambling, you want to be double parked on this car. We got two guys named Park, Jun Young Park and Hyun Sung Park. Both of them, I think, are going to win their fights, but we're going to start with Jun Young Park, JYP. I don't know if they call him that, but he's fighting Andre Muniz. Jun Young Park, they call him the Iron Turtle. I don't know if you've seen this guy fight, Tom, but he wrestles.
No.
He wrestles. Heavy wrestles. And gets submissions and decisions. But he also is capable of the TKO. That's the other guy. Sorry. No, he gets submissions or decisions, Jun Park. And they call him the Iron Turtle, I guess, because he's like pretty much immune to submissions. And Muniz is heavy on his submissions, so I don't like his chances at middleweight. He's been submitted, too. He had submission losses. So I like the Iron Turtle. I gotta go with him. He's going to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, even though he's probably not a teenager. Let's go with that one. Then we got Keenan Song. He is 20-7, fighting Kevin Doucette at welterweight. I like Song by knockout or submission. Doucette has an impressive fight resume, but I don't think he's got the experience to hang this Song. And Song's probably thinking, I'm so far down on the undercard here. I need a main event fight, so I need to put on a show. Then we got lightweight Steve Garcia, 14-5, fighting Melquizale Costa, who is 20-6 at lightweight. Bantamweights Luana Santos, 6-1, fighting Stephanie Egger, 8-4. Another bad name for a fighter, since you call an Egger, you know, big old lump on the side of your head. Bantamweight. She's 8-4. Yeah, not good. Tatsuro Taira, she's undefeated in the second fight, 14-0 at flyweight. Or no, he's undefeated, I should say. Sorry, Tatsuro, your bowl cut made you look like a girl. Carlos Hernandez is his opponent, 9-2 at flyweight. And then you got Rayanne Amanda Dos Santos, she is a girl, and she's 14-6 at strawweight. But in Talita Alencar, not as much experience, just 4-0-1. For all those. But Hyun Sung Park at flyweight. He is 8-0, fighting Shannon Ross. This is where you should be double parked. I like Kim Park by TKO or Submission. And he does not have as much experience as Ross, but Ross has 3 knockout losses in a row. So, yeah. And that's an inside a minute bet, too, for him, Park. Knockout inside a minute. Because Ross also has a couple, 2 of his last 3, I believe, have been inside a minute. So, patterns say anything. Ross has a button that can be pushed very easily in the first minute of the fight. And Park has got some knockouts, and he looks pretty durable. He's not going to pull an Iron Turtle on you. Park and Park. They should start their own fighting academy. Selling a lawyer's office. Park and Park. Double parked. So yeah, that's like the parlay of the week. The double parked parlay. They should put it on DraftKings. Anyway. So that's that. I got a couple stories lined up. Let's see, we got our former guest Amanda Serrano. Big news this week. Big news. I don't know if you heard anything about this, guys, but she threw her belt in the trash, sort of, like a former heavyweight champion that we know. Amanda Serrano relinquished her WBC title after the WBC refused to allow her to compete in bouts under the same rule set as men's boxing with 12 three-minute rounds. Yeah. I always thought that was a little bit strange since women don't do that in the UFC. They're typically scheduled in boxing for no more than 10 rounds, with each round lasting 2 minutes. And it's a totally different fight pace because of it. Now, Serrano, obviously we've talked to her before. She's very outspoken. She's very, she's one that challenged Ronda Rousey at one point. That was an interview we had with her. She unified WBA, WBC, IBF, WBO, and IBO and Ring Magazine titles. She was among the women boxers who launched a campaign in October to have the choice to compete under the same rules as men. I actually had not heard about this until this week. I guess, you know, that's why she did it. Just throw the title away. She actually already fought a 12-round, three-minute round fight. Later in October, after she launched the campaign, she fought Danila Ramos to a unanimous decision. The WBC did not sanction the fight, while the other sanctioning bodies recognized the bout as a title defense. The WBC has refused to evolve the sport for equality, so I am relinquishing their title, she said on Instagram. Moving forward, if a sanctioning body doesn't want to give me and my fellow fighters the choice to fight the same as men, then I will not be fighting for that sanctioning body. Wow. That's pretty wild. WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman had earlier said they would not sanction 12 three-minute rounds in women's bouts. Tennis, women play 3 sets. Basketball, the basket is shorter and the ball smaller, and those are not contact sports. We stand by safety and well-being of the fighters, Suleiman wrote on Twitter, or X now, in September. Both Serrano and Ramos were able to compete under the new rules without damage or incident, Serrano wrote on X. It's something I've wanted for years, and finally now that I'm in the position, I will continue my career under that rule, she added. Talk about drawing a line in the sand. What do you think about that?
He showed him.
Yeah, that's a small step. for woman, one woman, and a giant step for womankind, I guess. Boxing terms. It's a pretty big deal. But yeah, it was in all the boxing headlines this week, so. Well. All right. That's about it for the big news and events. Unless we've missed something. Any other updates? But I guess the parlay of the week, get yourself double parked, round three. Yeah, for Christmas, round three. Don't take any malarkey, unless it's by KO. And sing a song by KO or decision. But you could also be Mexican and go with Gutierrez and Feliz Navidad.
Ow, something's on the mouth. You know, it's you said it best, was Daffy Duck. Have it on one of my Christmas CDs. He goes, hey Speedy, Speedy Gonzalez. Hey Speedy, Merry Christmas. Or they say in your country, please an eggnog.
Oh, I didn't even realize there's two songs on the card too. The Don song. Right. And Keenan's song. It's a double song card. Double parked. You could be double parked and double songed. I don't know. I like Gutierrez in the main event on that song. Double parked. Two different songs. There's two different songs on this card. All right. Enough puns. I guess we will get together next week. Get it rocking around.
Sounds good. I got my first cameo request for a Hanukkah greeting the other day.
Oh, there you go.
So I filmed that. Yeah.
Do you have a September greeting for you?
I'm going to send you guys some pictures from this weekend.
Alrighty then.
Yeah. Can see me being smiling, but all bitter on the inside.
Well, you know, you did a lot with the Rocky stuff. You know, you got quite
the
resume.
And that's the thing is, you know, I mean, I do, and this, it was supposed, if I could believe that it was totally random, that's fine. But I see some of the people, I'm like, this was totally slanted, and if it was slanted, then why did I get the shit? I mean, I tried to tell you, you know, I think I barked up the wrong tree, though.
Yeah.
I think I needed to put more on the guy that was picking the winners, which I didn't know, instead of the actual shops page. So I think that was a mistake I made.
Is Sylvester on Cameo?
You know, what?
Is Sylvester on Cameo?
I don't know.
You should see what a cameo with him is for.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna. I could see who. No, you know what I would do? I'd probably request it from. I would just pay for it myself to give it myself, and I'd be like, "Hi, can you explain to him why you didn't pick him to be the trash dog in Rocky Balboa? Could you explain why you cut him out of the credits in that movie? Can you explain why you saw that he got totally fucked over? You can't miss the guy. He was dressed as a giant sequin Apollo Creed. I mean, well, I did get a high five from him. I mean, I did get that, but that's not enough.
Yeah. This weekend, you got a high five from Sylvester?
In fact, in the one picture I'm going to include on there, you'll see the picture of, you can see him in the background. You can kind of see his hand with the ring on it.
Yeah.
And I'll also include the pictures of Clark W. Griswold.
He's a big, you know, Netflix star now, Sly. He's got his own documentary, so, you know, maybe it's going
to his head.
Why not? It's going to his head.
So now I've been fucking with the Rocky shop, like, because they opened after the Philly
season was over, so I hadn't been down there in costume. But, and when I was in the shop, I still had my jacket on and my track pants. So you can only see my cape kind of hanging out. But the one thing I said, and this is me just being an arrogant dick, like I commented on the one thing they wrote, and I was like, they posted a picture of me. And I was like, oh, I said, you do know, like, I am, like, one of the fastest rising local celebrities in Philadelphia, which is a crock of bullshit, but, you know, I'm still going to say it. And I'm like, yeah, it's a crock of bullshit. And I fully admit that. But I'm like, one of the fastest rising, because, like, I'm on all these news shows, and I'm on podcasts and all that, and I'm getting requests, and all this. I'm like, okay, come on, I'm making all this up. But, well, no, I've done newscasts, and I've done local appearances, and I've done podcasts, and I've done all that. My fastest rising local celebrity, I highly doubt that, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that I am. And I'm like, maybe next year, I've hung my outfit up for the year now. I'm not putting it back on, so don't call me. But maybe next year, on my way to a game, I'll stop by. It is what it is, you know. So well, the second picture you'll see his hand and part of his face in the background.
Well, I think years ago I got a list, probably have it still in my email, of like every celebrity that had a publicly listed number. We should prank call Storm right now. Look him up. See if he's on there. Probably changed by now.
But yes, excuse me, can you say what is wrong with our buddy the tornado?
Well, he's no longer in charge of the Rocky movies, so you don't have to worry about
that. Yeah.
You're going to take him from him.
Well, you know what? I kind of wish he was, because that Creed 3 was trash.
Right? I didn't watch the end. Based on your review, I just...
I'll tell you, Creed 3 was leagues worse than Rocky 5.
Yeah.
And Rocky V gets banned for being so bad. I know Trisha Morrison says it's the best one, but then she also said it's the only one she's ever seen.
Yeah.
She admitted that on our show at times. She's like, Rocky V's the best, your favorite, right? And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's in my top five.
Yeah.
Or at the time, I know it was Rocky Balboa was out, but I was like, it's in my top six of Rocky movies. And then you know, when
that's
I
where
did Star Wars
should go next.
All nine of the franchise, including the three Creed movies, Rocky V was number 8, but Creed 3 was leagues worse.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Old man, getting old. Yeah, that's my heavy security, huh? Service guys without the sunglasses.
overall, do they look? I mean, how do I look?
Pretty happy.
Oh yeah, something. Oh, there's one of him on the stage. I got a good photo of like when I was able to push my way over to that side, but they told me originally I couldn't be.
Yeah.
I pushed my way over there. Then this one guy, by the way, I got a new line for you. You can use this. So last week, this one guy was behind me. He brings a kid with him. The kid's little. And I'm like, I'm about to pump this little fucking piece of shit about 50 yards and shut the hell up. So I don't have kids. You know, I like kids as long as they're not mine and as long as I don't have to be around them all the time. But these kids, So this guy, who's a little taller than me, is with his umbrella, this big, huge, monstrous umbrella, and he keeps catching it on mine and pulling my umbrella away from me. And I'm sitting there, and then he's like, he's saying this dumb shit. I'm like thinking, listen here, you big buffoon, which is a word I invented, which is a cross between a goof and a buffoon. I'm thinking, you keep this up, I'm about to 7-10 split your teeth. you know, the 7-10 split in bowling where there's like you shatter every pin except the two on the end. That's all it's going to do to his teeth.
Yes, Mike Perry 7-10 split Eddie Alvarez's face over the weekend too. I forgot to mention that Bernardo. I went with somebody else's parlay off a video. It did not work out. I had a lot of them, right? Anyway. Another boxing story we missed. Oldest welterweight boxer suffered a brutal knockout in his professional debut.
Yeah,
well.
59-year-old
dude. I'm not going to...
How long did he last in that fight?
Well, like inside a minute, I believe it was.
Lasted that long?
Yeah. New Hall of Fame, International Boxing Hall of Fame class includes Ricky Hatton, Diego Corrales, and Michael Moore. Michael Moore. We interviewed Moore one time. Remember his famous quote that he gave?
I know he did, yeah. You know, I'll tell you, Dana White.
Yeah.
Dana White was advocating for our boy Benny Paz.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He has been a little controversial, been in the news for some wrong reasons over the years. I was thinking about him the other day because we could easily get him back on the show. Pictures of him on my records, I'm sure. I read the book. Got it signed and I blow. It was on the old MySpace for years. Let's see. So that's it, basically. So we want to talk about wrestling. Wrestling.
Send you guys only a few photos went through. I'll try to send them some more. Well, like I said, it is what it is. Took my shot. Didn't work. Fuck it.
And this weekend, it's also a big weekend for football, military academies, the Army-Navy game. And usually I wouldn't take sides because Air Force crushes them usually. But they got upset by Army this year, so they will not get the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. That sucks. But they had a pretty good year going up to that, so that happened. But I always favor Army and the Army-Navy game because Norwich was an Army-based system. And if I had to pick another service, you know, I would go where my dad went, was to be the Army. If I had decided to get into the service when I graduated, but I ultimately didn't. But anyway, yeah. So I kind of favor Army, and they did beat Air Force. So you know, you think, you know, the way Air Force beat Navy, you'd think they'd be, you know, common opponent math, they'd be favored to win that one. But it's kind of one of those things like styles make fights. So it'll be one of those. Lots of runs, not a lot of passes. Those games. But sometimes they do well with it. Anyway, is what it is. So enjoy the fight.
All right, well, gentlemen, always a pleasure. I guess we will converse in 7 days.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys.
All right.
Fight.
Adios.
See ya.